3.
Welcome to the radio podcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have 2 Thessalonians, that is the Old Testament letter. Amen. I'm waiting on everybody. If you hadn't found it, you can check your table of contents. And I believe you can find it a little quicker. Amen. When you have that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13, you're looking at that. Say, I have the word.
I have the word.
And I'm ready to receive it. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of truth, whereunto you, unto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Amen. May God bless you, keep you, is my prayer. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. This one, it's a bit unorthodox. It's not quite what I wanted to preach this morning, but when you work for somebody else, you got to put out the orders they tell you. Amen. 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 So I just want to be obedient this morning and want to use for a thought. Stand fast. Don't be shaken.
Amen.
Amen. Now, how that's going to come out here, you just wait and let's see. I'm wondering too. Amen. The book or the letter of to the church of the Thessalonians or Thessalonians is Paul here is the writer. He's writing to them because there's quite a bit of confusion in that day about what to believe. Because what had happened, the church had begun to expand and grow. And you know how in any, just about anything, if things start to get, you know, look like it's going good, look like everybody want to do it. Amen. If you got a car wash and look like your car wash stay full of cars, then somebody else going to go open a car wash too because they think that, oh, yeah, this is good. Yeah, we can make some money. You know, whatever people think look good, they're going to all try to run and go do it, right? Things haven't changed in over 2,000 years. People still do the same thing. And so everybody saw where Paul was getting the gathering and some of the other apostles was getting a gathering. And they thought it was cool that, you know, we need to preach this word. And some of them were preaching for different reasons, the same thing that's happening today. Some of them was preaching for their gain. Some was preaching for Paul's hurt. Some was confusing people because they really didn't know what they was talking about, but they was just talking. But that doesn't mean that they didn't have a following. And that goes to show you that anybody can say anything and anybody will follow anybody that say anything.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Still today is happening. And so Paul began to talk to these people at this church because they had gotten into a frenzy and an urgency because they thought that the world was about to come to an end. They thought that everything was about to happen right away. And you can go throughout time and throughout history, and you can hear people for instance, the founder of the Jehovah's Witness and how they came about. You'll find out that they preached the doomsday, and then that day came and it didn't happen, and then they predicted another day, you know. And so you get people to start following you based off fear. And that is not what God wants us and why he wants us to follow him. He wants us to follow him based off the love that he's shown us. Amen. The Bible says through love and kindness have I drawn. He draw us by loving us. Amen? Amen. And how is it that we think that when we come to church that we'll get people to fear God by telling them how bad God is? We should be telling them how good God is. Amen. We should be reminding them. Now, Paul was trying to let them know that, hey, don't be shaken, but you need to stand up. You need to be steadfast, right? So I got to go ahead and get into the text because I got to go, right? So I got to get into the text. So it says, now, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and the gathering together unto him. Now, he was trying to tell them, look, that the Lord is coming. There'll be a gathering together, right? Yes, that is true. Now, but what we got to understand that is not a dreadful day for the saints. We are afraid of the end of the world. We should not be afraid. We should welcome it. We should be glad because look at this. It is a gathering. In other words, you know how you have a family gathering and how everybody, it's a gathering of saints. It's a gathering to the one who we've been longing for. The one, you know how it is. When you love somebody and they've been away, you can't wait to see them. I can't wait to see him. Amen. He begins to tell them, he says, look, he said that about the gathering together unto him, verse 2 says that ye be not so soon or soon shaken in mind or troubled neither by spirit or word or by letter from us as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, you got to remember that's the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, right? The day of Christ is a day of rejoicing for us. The day of Christ is for us. The day of the Lord is for those who don't believe. Because judgment will happen. Come on and say amen. And so the day of Christ, and when we start talking about the day of Christ, he's not just talking about one day. We think that, oh, that one day come. No, he's talking about an age. You know how they had the age where we begin to explore space, or the industrial day, the days of industry. You know, he's talking about a time where Christ, the time right now we live in, this is the day of Christ. And we need to know that today we need to be spreading the word, showing people who Christ is, showing them how to live, showing them who he intend for us to be. Amen? Amen. He said, but don't be shaken, soon shaken in mind. Don't be messed up in your mind. And see, what the problem we got is that we can't think right because we don't know who to believe or what to believe. Because we listen to too many things that goes in our what? Our mind. And so our mind need to be cleared of things so that we can hear what thus said the Lord. He said, don't be shaken of mind. And it's important because our mind, with our mind, we serve God. Amen. With our mind, that's part of our soul, right? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So if your mind is part of your soul, it is your mind that must help your soul to know what to do to be saved. Amen. Preach. All right. He says, so, or be troubled neither in spirit nor by word or by letter. He said, don't be troubled. No matter what happens, don't be troubled. Don't feel like you have to be in distress about any of these things. Amen. And so he says, look, let no man deceive you by any means. For the day shall not come except there shall be a what? First, a falling away. Wow, look at that. And so first thing we got to see here, verse 1 through 3 kind of talks about the apostasy of the church. The word falling away is the word in the Greek apostasia, which means apostasy, means that people will begin to fall away. Now let me let you in on something. This falling away does not actually mean that it's just people not going to go to church no more. It means that they'll go to church, but they ain't going to church for the right reason. It means that they won't be able to receive a true word. They want to hear some other stuff. They want to hear about somebody who had a dream. They want to hear about somebody who visited hell. And they don't want to hear about what the Lord is. Jesus said enough about hell. That's all we need to hear about. Amen. They want to hear other things. They don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. Amen. And so they're not interested in God at all. They're interested in getting a motivational speech. They're interested in feeling good about themselves. They're interested in trying to have self-help. You know how what preachers been talking about lately is that you got to get, if you got five broken broke folk around you. Don't be the sixth broke one. You know what? If you're the sixth one and you ain't broke, then maybe you can help the other five become prosperous. That's how God worked this thing. If you really look at the text of the scripture and you realize that the people said we had all things coming, that means if I got, you got. That don't mean I need to separate from you because you broke. That means I need to show you how to get some work. That means I need to show you how to budget. I need to show you how to save. I need to show you how to pay your tithes so you can be blessed. Y'all don't hear me in here. We get this thing all wrong. It's not about yourself. It's about being selfless. Okay. So he says, don't be deceived because they're going to be at first a falling away. Meaning people are just not going to be interested in God. They're going to be interested in themselves. Now, let me tell you, some people may assume or may think that they're interested in God when they actually have their own motives for serving God. If you have your own motive for serving God, oh my goodness, other than you loving him and him loving you, then you're in this for the wrong reason. If you're serving God to get a house, to get a car, to get, amen, to get a husband, to get a wife, to get whatever, if you're serving God for those reasons, then you're serving God for the wrong reason. You are looking at God as some type of spiritual Santa Claus, and you think that if you show up and do good, I've been good this month, Lord, when are you going to give me my husband? I've been good, when are you going to give me? That is not why you serve God. You serve God because he's the creator. You serve God because he's sovereign. You serve God because of who he is, not because of what he does for you. Because if he doesn't do anything else for you, he's already done enough. Okay. So he says that when you see that day coming, it's going to be people falling away, people not wanting to hear. The Bible says that they're going to be people. Paul said they're going to have itchy ears. They're going to fall away from the faith. They're not going to trust. And you know what the other scripture says? It's going to be a famine for the hearing of the word of God. You know what that means? People say, oh, it's going to be a famine. Ain't nobody going to be preaching the word. That's not what that means. It means that nobody want to hear the word. They're not going to want to listen to good sound doctrine. They want to hear a bunch of wise fables and stories and talk, you know. And, oh, Lord have mercy. Amen. I'm trying to stay. So he says in verse 3, he says the falling away, the apostasy. Then he says, and then the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, the one who is doomed to be doomed, who is born to be doomed. He is a man that has received God's condemnation. Amen. And he says that this man is the man of sin, meaning that he comes in missing the mark. But the problem here, let's see what happened, what else. He says, who oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. He says he opposes. He is the opposition to those who know God and to God himself. And he says, or that is worship, so that he is as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Now, what happened here? What he's saying is not that he's actually going to go to the church and sit up in the church and people going to worship. It means that he's going to set up a different style of worship for people. And people are going to look at him as somebody that they can look up to solve their problems. Lord have mercy. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He made a decree. He says, King Darius made a decree in the book of Daniel. Darius said, don't nobody pray to no God. You ask me if you need something. He had put himself up there, right? And because people had, they tricked him to believe that he was that high of a God. But then God showed him who he really was. And so what we got to understand is that this man, the son of perdition, which we call the Antichrist, right? He is the man that's going to come, and people are not going to even recognize that he's Antichrist. Why? Now, we think that the reason why they're not going to recognize him because he's going to be so evil, they ain't going to recognize him. Yeah, he's going to be evil, but he's going to do some things for them that make them believe that he's all right. See, when you first see, when you see something wrong, you need to take heed to it. But people, we sometimes look for something right in something that's so wrong, and we stay with it until we see the one right thing, and we disregard all the wrong things. Now, he's the Antichrist. The word anti, listen to this, it does not mean all the time against or opposing. It also means instead of. So they will serve this man instead of the true Christ. Y'all don't hear me now. I want you to just look around. Now, John, 1 John chapter 2, I believe it was, about verse 18. That's the letter of John. It says that there are many antichrists have gone into the world. Many, many. In other words, this is not one of the many. This is not one of them, but this is the one that's going to come. Now, there are many that are coming before him. Now, so we start talking about world leaders and people like that. When somebody can say and do anything and people don't care, they still worship him and they will fight you, hurt you, kill you over these people, then that's worship. I don't know if you understand that or not, but that's a holy war. That's worship. Come on and say amen. Now, when he said this, he said, the son of perdition who opposes, he exalts himself, he puts himself at a high esteem. He's above the law. He's a lawless man. That's what it means to be the man of sin. He's a lawless man. He puts himself above the law. Amen. Can't nobody touch him. Amen. He said, who opposes everything that is like God. And so he opposes God. He does not even represent God. He brings a new form that people will subject themselves to as God. Remember, he says in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you of these things. Paul said, I already told you about this. Amen. In verse 6, and now ye know that withhold it that he might be revealed at this time. There's a season and a time that this man is going to be revealed, but he's been held back. All right, he's been held back. Look at this. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Oh, Lord. So, in other words, this lawlessness already is working, but the man who's going to put it together, this mystery, you don't even know how this lawlessness is working in your life today. You don't even know. It's a mystery how this stuff is happening right now. You don't even know how in the world we go from one thing to the next. All of a sudden, one generation believed this and they were standing firm on this. And now another generation don't even believe the stuff that we believe. They're more tolerable of the things that we would have even tolerated. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, we got to look at these things. And how is this happening? It is a mystery because they put it in every system. They put it on the TV. They put it in the media. They put it in the school system. Come on and say, man, they put it everywhere. Amen. And so we got to understand that this is a mystery how this is working. But if you're not praying, you definitely won't be able to see it. He says that the mystery of iniquity, the lawlessness, that's what this means in the text. The lawlessness, it is working. It is already at work, and only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, this is referencing the Holy Spirit. The only reason why this stuff hadn't taken over the world, the only reason why you haven't seen the Antichrist in the flesh is because the Holy Spirit hadn't let him come yet. Lord have mercy. And we don't want the Holy Spirit to be active in our life. We rather do what we want to do. We rather see things the way we want to see it. We rather somebody lie to us rather than the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, tell us the truth. See, I knew this wouldn't go too well for many people, but it's all right. We got to understand the Holy Spirit is the only thing standing between you and a whole bunch of stuff. He's standing between us and the Antichrist. He's standing between us and death, us and sickness, us and deception. See, I can't be deceived because I got the Holy Ghost. I was telling somebody the other day, somebody had done something, and I said, you know, I said, that's what that is, you know. And they said, you know, I ain't think about it. I said, yeah, you know how I know? I said, because I got the Holy Ghost. And he won't lie to me. People can sit and they can tell you a lie and you can look them dead in the mouth while they're lying and the Holy Ghost will tell you that's a lie. I don't need Mara to tell me that's a lie. I know y'all watch that. But the Holy Ghost will tell me that is a lie. Amen. And so that I won't be deceived because he cares for me. But too many times we fan off the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We ignore the Holy Spirit. But in order for us to make it in this life, in this world today, we have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, right? So look at this now. When the Holy Spirit, it says when he is taken out of the way, what that means is that when the church is already raptured up, when the Holy Spirit has done his work and he sealed all whom he's going to seal, then that one's going to come. Amen. All right, look at this verse number 8. He says, "Then shall the wicked, that wicked, be revealed, not until then, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth." I like this part. Yes. He said he'll consume and destroy with the brightness of his coming. We don't have to worry because, and we worry too much about stuff. Because if the Lord destroys the Antichrist with the breath of the spirit of his mouth, the word spirit there in the Greek is the word pneumia, which means, well, we get the word pneumatic, which means air. With the spirit, with the breath of his mouth, when he opened his mouth and he speaks with the breath of the spirit of his mouth, he says he's going to destroy him. And so this blew my mind, because if he does that to the most powerful man in the world at that time, guess what he can do for my life and my little problems? If he would just speak a word in my life, if the breath of his spirit would just speak, oh, come on and say amen. If I would just allow him to speak to me. And see, a lot of times we don't allow God to speak because we go to God with this long grocery list of all these problems and stuff that we got, all these complaints that we want him to fix, and all the stuff that we want him to give to us, and then we tell him all of that stuff and we get up off our knees and we don't even listen no more. We go back to texting, we go back to Lifetime, we go back to calling our friend, we go back to doing whatever it is we were doing. But we got to take time out to let God speak to us and let him breathe on us and let him give us a word. I wish I had somebody here. We got to understand that when God's word, or when the breath of his mouth is open and he spoke a word into us, he destroyed not only the things that are working against us, but he destroyed the one that's working against us. I wish I had somebody. And so I'm here to let you know that I need a word from God, from the breath of his mouth, not from somebody who's trying to think of something good to say, not somebody who's been watching my life and heard a little something they want to try to encourage. No, I appreciate your encouragement, but I need a word from the Lord. I need God to speak to me directly so that I'll be able to overcome all the things that the enemy's thrown my way, because you don't know the things that he throws my way. I don't talk about him. I don't have to complain about him. I ain't got to tell everybody in the world what I'm going through, because God already knows what I'm dealing with. All I'm saying to God, I'm right here. I ain't got to tell you what I'm dealing with, but I'm right here in your face because I need a word. I'm right here in your face because I ain't going nowhere, because if I leave, I might not make it. But God, I'm still in your face. I'm going to trust in you, and I'm waiting on you to breathe on me. I need you. I can make it if you breathe on me. I can overcome if you breathe. Just breathe the breath. If I could just hear a word from the Lord, I know everything will be all right. I don't have anybody in the house that said, if I could just hear a word from God, I know everything will be all right. I wish I had a few people in the house today that said, I need one word. If I can just get God to speak to me, I know I could be healed. If I could just get God to speak over my life, I know that everything that's wrong in my life will work out for my good. I wish I had a few people in the house. So he says that he'll consume him with the spirit of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming when he shows up. The brightness of his coming. That word brightness, you know, it's come from, we get a word from that in the Greek, epiphany. That means when he shows up, when, you know how you have an epiphany, anybody ever had one? It means it's a godsend. That means something pops in my mind, and that got to be God. Nobody but God. And so when you know it's God, this in itself destroys the enemy. Yes. When I know what God is up to, my faith can't be shaken. Amen. When I know that God is a way maker or a healer or a deliverer, I don't care what I go through, I know I'm going to be all right. Yes. I'm trying to get there. I'm going to get out of the way. So he said, look at this. He says, and when God shows up in the brightness of his coming, he'll destroy him. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I knew some lying wonders. He says, even him who's working after working of Satan with all power. Satan gives this man the power. Read Revelations. He gives him all power to do whatever he wants to do, right? And he says, and he's going to do some things with power and signs and lying wonders. What is a lie? A lie is something people tell you to make you think it's true. So if the wonders are going to lie, there are going to be things that are going to be done to make people believe that it's God and it's not. If you don't have discernment, the devil will come in church and fool you. If you don't have discernment, he'll do some stuff and you'll say, can't nobody do that but God, and it'll be the devil. He said that he would be able to fool even the very elect if it were possible. It's not possible, but if it were possible, people who are not in that category, they can be fooled. That's just like that. Is it all right to talk like this? I'm not in a hurry. I'm all right. And so he said, look at this. Now, this is needed because God said it is. So we can be focused on the big picture and get out of our own laps. We're too focused on us to know what's going on around us. Amen. When we're focused on what's around us, we can't keep up so much mess with our brothers and sisters. Amen. We can't be rebellious when we know this picture is bigger than what it is. Amen. All right, let me go on here. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, all deceivable, I mean, he's deceiving people. And I point back to 1 John chapter 2, around verse 18, where it says that the Antichrist is many of them already come, right? And so guess what's happening right now? Deception. Deception everywhere, even on the World Wide Web. Why is a spider put his web in the corner or at your garage from one spot to the next and back around? Because he want the fly to think that ain't nothing there, and the fly flies into it to deceive him, only to get him caught up in it. The World Wide Web. You get caught up in the web, huh? And that internet spider. Oh, okay, let me. I'll leave that alone. I'll leave it alone. Some of us caught up in the web now because we can't turn out. We can't put our social media down. We're at church today. Amen. I guarantee, if it's 50 people in here, 28 of them have picked up their phone and went on social media. Tell me I'm lying. I guarantee it's somebody in here, and that's the web. You're caught in it. You can't get free. Ain't no discipline when you're in that. Now you're hung in the web, and you're just waiting for the spider to come and eat the life out you. Amen. Taking my time. I know y'all wanted me to, you know. Oh, you don't? Okay. No. He says that deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth that they might be saved. They don't love the truth. They rather somebody lie to them. I was talking about this the other day. Some people just rather folks lie to them. They don't care. Don't care. Don't care. We was talking and somebody was asking me, well, you know, what about, you know, they was talking about they had went to this, you know, this revival, and they had about 5 or 6 people who had been told that they were going to be millionaires. And they say, you believe that? I say, I don't know. God might do it. I say, God might do it. I mean,